This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You're listening to the Muslim Life Hackers Podcast.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm Ifram Arif and welcome to Season 3 of Muslim Life Hackers Podcast. The Muslim Life Hackers Podcast brings together individuals from all walks of life to give their insights on an area to help you live better, achieve more, and succeed in this life and the next. If you're new to the show, make sure to check out our episode archives over at MuslimLifeHackers.com, where you will find all the episodes from Season 1 and Season 2. Now, let's get started. Today, we'll be speaking to Sister Hale Benani. She has a master's degree in clinical psychology, has been a featured expert in a variety of platforms, and also hosted her own TV show for Al Fajr TV called With Hale, which combined principles of psychology and Islam to help people reach their full potential. In this interview, we talk about the imposter syndrome, feeling like a fraud, tackling perfectionism, and handling negative self-talk. So enjoy this episode with Hale Benani.
Thanks for taking time to join us. So to start off, can you please tell us a bit about yourself and an introduction for our audience?
Sure. I have my master's in clinical psychology, and I have had over 18 years of experience doing therapy with individuals, doing marriage counseling, and working with an international clientele. I do Skype therapy sessions, and I'm also the co-founder of the five pillars of marriage. And my husband and I have come up with this program on helping people have a very successful marriage. So that's like the number five and then the five pillars of marriage, alhamdulillah.
Well, fantastic. That sounds really good. The topic that we wanted to speak about today on the show is about the imposter syndrome. So for those who haven't heard of this term, can you give us a brief explanation about what it is exactly?
Sure. It's a psychological phenomenon in which people are unable to internalize their accomplishments. So they feel a bit inadequate, and it's this feeling of chronic self-doubt and feeling that they are somehow going to be exposed.
Okay. So what actually causes someone to feel this way? Is it a result of low self-esteem or a mix of issues?
Actually, it's a bit different than having low self-esteem, because there is a discrepancy between their actual achievement and how they feel about the achievement. These are usually high achieving individuals, and they just have a feeling of self-doubt, and it stems generally from parents being very critical of them. You know, maybe there is pressured that they have received from their parents. There, sometimes it's due to the internal expectation that they have. They have very high expectation. They expect perfectionism. And so it's hard for them to live up to that, which leads to this feeling.
Okay. So when I was actually reading this, it says that a lot of high achievers actually struggle with this, as you mentioned right now. And it's because people expect perfection from themselves.
Right.
How can someone tackle that perfectionism? I mean...
Right. Well, what happens is that they don't internalize these individuals. They are high achieving, like you're saying. Mm-hmm. They're very ambitious, and they have achieved quite a bit, but they haven't internalized their success, and they generally attribute their success to either luck or external events. Now, talking about the perfectionism, generally most people who feel this way do have this sense of being a perfectionist, and this can be really very destructive, because there is this very high expectation and they never feel like they're good enough. And this makes a person feel, they always feel inadequate, that they haven't done enough and they're not good enough, smart enough, talented enough. And so it's really important to set your goals at a very at a reachable state. I use this analogy with my clients because I deal with a lot of individuals who are extremely successful, that they are high achievers, and they do suffer from this. I've dealt with a number of people who have suffered from this. And the way I explain it to them is that you are setting this goal, and it's very much like a, you know, when you're shooting baskets, right?
Yeah.
And that goal, you can set it as high or as low as you want. And it's very tricky where you place it, right? Because I know when my son was taking basketball, when it's an adjustable net, and if it's too low, they're not going to feel challenged. He just felt like, oh, this is for babies, right? And if it's too high, what happens is that the person will feel overwhelmed. And a lot of these high achievers, what they do, they set it like 50 feet high.
Yes.
And that feeling of like wanting perfection, but what they don't realize is that there is, it's so unattainable that they almost stop trying, and they feel very defeated. So my suggestion is adjusting the goal. You can still be ambitious, you can set high goals, but make it attainable and do it one step at a time rather than suddenly putting it 50 feet high. You start low and then you keep building gradually.
So you build gradually so that you can be able to make yourself that momentum that comes with it, right?
Right, right. And gaining that sense of competence and knowing that you have the ability to do this task at hand.
Okay, yeah, makes sense. So, say if someone was being given an opportunity when they're taking on a big role or a project, and although they are competent, they still feel like they don't belong there. So for this person and others who find themselves in this predicament, what advice would you give them? Like, how can they overcome this internal conflict? Say, even if they set goals that were kind of reachable, but that position, them being in that, they just feel like, I don't belong here. And it's like,
right, right. Well, the first thing you need to do is definitely control your self-talk. You know, as a cognitive behavioral therapist, one of the first things I do with my clients is address the fact that how their thoughts affect their emotions and their emotions affect their behavior. So the conversation, that internal dialogue that you have with yourself, you really have to take control of that, because that's what's causing all that anxiety, the self-doubt. Another thing that you could do is that you can own your successes. I had a client who she graduated from an Ivy League school, had a great position, very successful, but she did not feel that she had anything to offer. So one of the things I had her do was to list down, and she had a very long list of achievements for someone so young. She had achieved so much, mashallah, but she never internalized it. So once she wrote it down, I said, I want you to really internalize these achievements. And that's when it finally hit her that yes, that I am good enough and I have made some achievements. So owning your success. And then the second thing is that you don't talk down yourself. That, you know, it's a beautiful quote I came across, which is by C.S. Lewis. It says, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, it is.
So it's not that you're thinking less, like, I'm not good enough. Being humble is not underappreciating what you have to offer, but not being narcissistic about it, not not thinking about yourself so excessively. So when you don't talk yourself down, that's really important. The third thing you can do is you focus on the value that you're adding instead of focusing on perfection, because that's where people get stuck. They feel that they need to be perfect. If they're writing an article, and I was just writing an article last night, and there is that feeling inside that you want every sentence to blow a person away. You want to have that impact. You want it to be powerful. But instead of searching for perfection, just think about adding value. And when you shift your focus, then that's really going to have a big impact. The two other suggestions is embrace the challenges, even if you feel like you're not up to the challenge. I can't tell you the number of times I was asked to do something where I wasn't ready to do it. I may have not had the experience, but I said yes. And by saying yes, I built my courage, I built the experience, and I tackled it. And, you know, your comfort zone will keep expanding as long as you keep taking on the challenges. And the last thing is just not comparing yourself to others, because as long as you compare and you feel like, oh, this person has achieved this, they can do this better, you are constantly, it's actually a form of a violence to yourself when you compare.
Yeah, that's true. And I think it doesn't help, especially with what we have today with social media and everything. People obviously going to be putting on their best side. So it's like that comparing just gets worse, doesn't it?
It does, and it doesn't do really any good. I think the best thing we can do is compare ourselves to, let's say, I can compare myself and compete against myself. I want to be my best. So I want to be better than I was last year. It's not about competing with others and outdoing others. It's about competing with myself and making sure that I'm constantly in that process of self-development, self-improvement, excelling and achieving.
That's true. So on that part when you were saying about owning your successes and internalizing your accomplishments, is it just by listing everything down, or are there more steps to that? Because that actually sounds like one of the ones that you mentioned quite a few times about internalizing accomplishments.
Internalizing, yes. Like one client I had, she was a physician. Yeah. She was a business owner, extremely talented and creative. But, you know, she had very low feelings about herself, very low self-esteem, didn't feel like she was accomplished. So it is about not just writing it down, but feeling that sense of accomplishment, allowing yourself to feel good. I think there's a lot of guilt associated to a feeling. A lot of people shy away from feeling proud, and it's not about the pride that will make you arrogant, but it is about gaining that sense of confidence, right? So there's a difference between confidence and arrogance. Confidence is that you believe in your abilities, versus arrogance, you feel you are better than others, right? So there's nothing wrong with having that feeling of self-confidence and knowing that you're capable. And I think that's where a lot of times people shy away from internalizing their achievements, maybe in the search or in the pursuit of humility. Yeah. They don't want to internalize it, but they keep away, they prevent themselves from really excelling because they are not allowing themselves to feel their capabilities.
So they don't take the time to sit down to internalize what they have done, and in order to motivate them to keep stepping up in their life.
Right. And another important aspect is having that internal validation. I think individuals who get stuck in the imposter syndrome, they're so focused on other people's acceptance. It's all about external validation. If people say I'm okay, then I'm okay. If others, they validate me, then I am okay. But what we need to do is take that and try to become more focused with internal validation. We need to be able to feel that, you know, I'm doing the right thing. Allah is pleased with me. This is what I'm doing, and it is good. I'm adding value. And you're not so concerned about other people's view of you or their acceptance. And having more focus on self-acceptance, where you accept yourself, whether that's your strengths and your weaknesses, right? You have to accept yourself as a package deal, and that will definitely help with this.
So one of the things that you mentioned with regards to strategies on how to overcome that internal conflict you feel when you're feeling like a fraud, or you feel like, okay, you don't belong in that position. I wanted to know that the thing you mentioned about providing value instead of perfectionism. So would you be able to give us an example? Like, say someone is how do they know that they're providing value? I mean, what how does that look like pretty much?
Okay. All right. Well, you can see whatever it is that you're doing, like the example I gave about writing an article.
Yeah.
Right.
So how do you know it's enough? Yeah. Like when you're in the process of actually writing the article.
Mm-hmm. As far as while you're writing it, you need to, it's got kind of that gut feeling of knowing that you are giving its haq, right? You are giving it its due, right? And I think that feeling of ihsan, right? That feeling of, I want to do things as if Allah is watching me, and having that feeling of completion where you do your best, but it's not about attaining perfection, but it's just about, I have given this the right amount of time. And I think we all get that feeling where we know when we're cutting corners, when we're kind of slapping something together, versus when we really put the time and effort to do the research and, you know, get the verses and just make it really good and complete, right? Mm. Now, what happens with the imposter syndrome, they have one of two extremes, the way that they deal with it. Either they over-prepare, so they are spending hours and hours excessively in preparing for the task at hand, or they procrastinate to the very last minute, and that way they can't feel liable for the fact that they don't do a very good job. So it can go both ways. And I think, you know, like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us to be in the middle, right? Follow the middle path. We don't want to be in any of these extremes of either spending hours and hours preparing for something that is coming up. And I know that I fell into that initially when I had conferences, and I stretched out my comfort zone, because suddenly I was talking to a few hundred people, I was asked to speak in front of like a few thousand people.
Yeah.
And I got myself so involved with preparing and just excessively preparing, right?
Yeah.
And that's something I recognize in myself, and I realize that, you know, I don't need to spend this amount of time, and I cut it down, and it gave me so much more peace. I think my family appreciated that so much more, right? Because I wasn't taking away time from them, and so I think that really helps to not overly, not to be excessive in your preparation, and not, you know, just putting it for the last minute, and having that contentment in your heart that you have done what is expected, and not trying to reach a perfection. I don't know if that answers your question, because it's a little bit tricky to recognize whether it's a little bit tricky to find that line between doing your best and then aiming for an unattainable perfectionism.
Yeah, that actually makes sense, because, like, ultimately, whenever we're doing something, we know when we kind of gave it a half effort and when we really did try our best. So it does
exactly
make sense. Yeah, that
yeah, you
feeling.
Know, you know, we deep down inside. And I knew when I was preparing, and I was overly preparing. Like, I had a lecture in Malaysia, and I know I went overboard in the preparation.
Yeah.
You know, my husband told me so, right? And I knew that it was just more than I needed to. And it's just we have that gut instinct, and then once you start listening to your gut and you start following it, then it decreases the self-doubt as well, right? Because this is
true.
A disorder, right? It's
a
disorder of self-doubt. And so the more you start listening to yourself and following your gut, then that's going to give you that level of confidence and competence that you need, and it'll lower your that imposter syndrome.
Mm, true. Well, one of the things that you also mentioned was how there's that thing about internal validation, about how when someone they feel that they're a fraud and everything, because their whole validation just it depends on other people's acceptance and what other people think. And I really like for you to put the spotlight on the reality of do other people really sit there and think about our mess ups? That's the question.
that is a good point, isn't it? You know, no one really cares.
Yeah, no one really cares.
I think everyone is so self-consumed.
Yeah.
And this is what I try to tell this to my clients when they are so, they become so obsessed about what does he think and what does she think. And I said, you know what? I hate to break it to you, but they're not thinking about you, right? Everyone is consumed with their own life, their own achievements, their own failures, right? And even if you do make a mistake, I think that it's all about how you define success and failure, right? And generally, people define success as achievement and, you know, gaining, maybe whether it's material wealth or possessions or status. But if you start defining success as the ability to learn, then anything that happens to you is, you know, you're a success.
Yeah.
Even if you fail at a job and you learn what you did wrong, or your business failed and you learn that how to invest your money or what you need to do, then you're still a success. And failure is the inability to learn, rather than thinking it's not being able to achieve your goal. Because I can't tell you the number of people who beat themselves up because they have not been able to achieve the goal that they wanted.
Yeah.
And they get stuck in that. They can't get over it. So if you start looking at failure as the inability to learn. So if you can't learn from this incident, then that is failure.
Yeah.
Not the fact that you failed your class or you failed at your business or you failed in your marriage. Mm. All of these are learning opportunities, and you can become a better person these experiences.
Yes, that's true. Because they say the best like learning lessons are your own experiences.
Yes, yes. And then, you know, when we do make a mistake, we learn it, right? It becomes such a part of us. And so we shouldn't be afraid of making mistakes. And I think part of this imposter syndrome is that fear of failure. Because their aim, you know, they've put that basketball net so high, it's 70 feet high, and they want perfection, and they're so afraid. They're standing there with the ball in their hand, and they're so afraid that they're not going to make the basket, right?
Yeah.
So just, we need to be able to be okay if we don't make the basket, even if you try. I mean, I think there's something on Michael Jordan, the number of shots that he missed. And the fact that he wasn't even chosen on the basketball team in high school.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we can't be afraid of that. You know, he could have had a negative attitude and thought, oh, I'm a loser, I can never do this. But, you know, it's about turning things around, reframing it, and then reaching your goals.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense. So you see how the thing you also mentioned about having positive self-talk. So say if someone failed and they're really kind of like messed up with what they're doing, I mean, how should they speak to themselves? I mean, because I think sometimes we're so used to that negative voice that it's like we don't know how to speak well to ourselves anymore.
I know. This is such a phenomenon, and people are unaware of it. I mean, majority of the clients that I have, that's one of the first things I teach them, and they're very unaware, and they don't recognize how much it's destroying their life and their emotions and their relationship. So it's about, first of all, you have to recognize that you do have this internal self-talk. And you know, the first week of therapy, I tell them just to recognize the negative self-talk, because we're talking somewhere about 400 or 500 words a minute, and 85% of what we're saying is negative. So how is that going to affect us?
Yeah.
Obviously, it's going to affect us in a negative way. So when you become aware of that internal dialogue and you start taking control of it, I guarantee your mood will change, your achievement level will change, and your relationship. So it is really key to hone in on this self-talk. Mm.
So can you give us an example, like if say I made a mistake and that negative self-talk is like, oh, you're so dumb, how should I have spoken to myself?
Okay, very good. So for a specific example, instead of saying that, you know, oh, how could I have done this? I'm so stupid. Mm. First of all, the rule is never say anything negative about yourself.
Okay.
I know that people are in the habit of that, but even just say, oh, that was so stupid. Oh, I'm so dumb. You know, you got to refrain from using that, because that is kind of like slamming the door in your own face,
yep.
Right? So you have to say something like, okay, well, I didn't do it right this time. I'm going to do it another time. I will make it better the next time. That's okay. I'm going to try harder, or I'm going to learn from this experience. Because if you think about it, and it's interesting, because I wrote on my Facebook kind of about getting people's feedback on why they beat themselves up.
Yeah.
And a lot of people said that this is a sense of they want to achieve higher, and it's a way of motivating themselves. It's kind of like that tough coach.
Yeah.
But studies have shown that is not an effective means to get the best out of a person. The most effective means of getting the best out of an individual is by being positive and giving that positive reinforcement, positive sentiment, and affirmation. So if a person is telling themselves, you know, you stupid idiot, I can't believe you messed up, I can't believe you did that,
yeah.
That is not going to get them to succeed the next time. They're just making themselves feel horrible. Now, if they instead say, you know what, I really shouldn't have done this. I really shouldn't have done this. Next time, this is the way I'm going to do it. So it's really about it's something that I call a redo. I do that with my kids. If they have a wrong reaction, I just have them, instead of getting mad about that reaction, I just say, let's do a redo, okay? Let's do that over. And what happens when you do that is that you program yourself to react differently the next time.
Yeah, that's really nice. Yeah, a redo. I like that.
And you give, and see, it's about redemption. It's about learning. It's about excusing yourself. You know, I think a lot of times we end up punishing ourselves, we punish our kids, and we get so fixated on the punishment that we don't recognize that the whole purpose of education is to teach, is for someone to learn. So if you're beating someone up, that's not guaranteeing that they're learning. They're actually just feeling horrible about themselves and about you. But when you nurture, you got to be like a nurturing coach to yourself, where you inspire and you believe in yourself and you give encouraging words. That's what's going to make you thrive.
A nurturing coach. Yeah, that sounds good. So we're actually coming close to the end of our interview now, and I'd like to ask you our final questions that we ask all our guests. So the first question that we have is, what are your three top book recommendations? You can do it with regards to this topic or just generally on how to get the most out of our life.
Oh, sure. You know what? I really enjoy the books from Anthony Robbins,
yep.
Personal Power, Awaken the Giant Within. I think they're both very powerful. Regarding this, there's Margie Worrell, Warrell, Stop Playing Safe. And she specifically talks about the imposter syndrome.
Oh, nice.
Yes. So I think that those are all, you know, good recommendations.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay, so to our audience listening to this, you can find this on our show notes, which are on our website. And so our second question is, what is your favorite life hack to get ahead in life?
Favorite life
yep.
hack. Okay. You know, I think it's this combination of, I think that synergy, the synergy of dealing with your body, mind, and soul, and you know, just we're eating really healthy. We're doing a paleo diet, my husband and I.
Oh yeah,
and
I read about that on your Facebook, the paleo diet. Yeah.
Right. So I mean, peak performance. You know, talking about like just being sharp mentally, physically, spiritually, always keeping that connection with Allah, making sure that you're doing everything for the sake of Allah, and surrendering to his plan, and then also emotionally addressing your emotional needs, and just setting really reasonable and exciting goals for yourself. So I think all of those, and wanting to change the world a little bit. Yeah. I think that's always exciting. Is like you could add a little something to make the world better in your own way.
Yeah, fantastic. So where can we find you online?
Well, you could find me online on halebanani.com, which is HaleBanani, halebanani.com. And also, like the five, what I was telling you about the program that I have is the 5PillarsOfMarriage.com.
Okay, yep.
And also on Facebook, like you mentioned.
Yes. Fantastic. Okay. So thank you so much, Hale, for joining us on the show today. There's been a lot of things that have been covered that I have benefited from, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners will as well. And so is there anything else that you want to mention that you didn't get to mention on this interview?
Alhamdulillah, it was really a pleasure, and it really made me reflect on this imposter syndrome and how important it is to not be so hard on yourself, to allow yourself to just to grow and to focus on adding value rather than wanting that perfection. So I think we covered it well, and it's like having that husna dhan, looking at the best case interpretation of things that have happened, because I think people who tend to have this imposter syndrome tend to be a somewhat negative, and so you just have to be very careful about interpreting things in the correct positive way, where you look at whether it was your success or your failure, you look at it and you interpret it in a positive way rather than dismissing your successes.
So there you have it, the interview with Hale Banani. One thing that stood out for me in this interview was the reality check about other people, whether they really sit there thinking about our stuff-ups. They don't. People don't really care. I mean, sorry if that kind of hurt you, but if you don't believe me, then think about how many times you sit there thinking about the mistakes of others. I mean, seriously, do you really sit there thinking about how that lecturer said too many times, or how there was a typo in someone's Facebook post? Oh my God. I mean, if you do, then it's a bit worrying, but it also reminded me about this article I was reading. It was a success story about someone putting themselves out there and succeeding in the online business space. And this person said how we sometimes give ourselves too much self-importance, like people are constantly watching our every move, and that stops us from doing what we really need to do. So food for thought. Anyway, I'd love to hear what you thought about this episode and everything we do on the show, including any topics or guests you'd like to see on. You can do so by going to muslimlifehackers.com/contact. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, so connect with us, and you can also send your feedback through there. If you want to show your support for the show, the best way to do so is by telling your family and friends online or in person. Now, this brings me to the end of the episode. Friends, until next time, remember, the only person you should aim to be better than is the person that you were yesterday. So give it your best today.
Thank you for listening to the Muslim Life Hackers podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, be sure to leave a review for us on iTunes by going to muslimlifehackers.com/iTunes.